welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and professional speaker, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free Author 2.0 blueprint and lots more information at thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com and this is episode 153 of the podcast, and you can get the backlist at thecreativepen.com/podcasts if you want to go back and listen. It's been several years now and I love getting emails from people who enjoy the show, and you know, many people say that they sort of, once they find it, they go back and listen to a whole load. And sometimes I think I should listen to the early ones because my life has certainly changed a lot. So it'd be quite funny. And in fact, I only started doing these kind of personal updates after about 2 years when somebody emailed me, one of the listeners emailed me and said, hey, you know, we could really do with knowing what you're doing as well. So yeah, anyway, I hope you enjoy the show. You can always email me at joanna@thecreativepen.com. Okay, so today it is the middle of April 2013, and today I have a great interview with Trevor Young on his new book, Micro Domination. It's all about social media and content marketing and personal branding, which I think we probably don't talk enough about, but I think it's really important. And it's a really good discussion. And I know, you know, some of you think you might have heard this stuff before, but actually Trevor was on the show a couple of years ago and both of our lives have changed a lot since then. So I really enjoyed our discussion and, you know, found it really interesting. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. But little update, because last show I said I would share with you my very exciting news. Unfortunately, I can't do that because the press release, etc., will go out on the 25th of April. So I basically, under contract, can't talk about the details until then. So I'm just desperate to tell everyone, and I can't. But once you know, it'll be all very exciting. So 25th of April, which may actually be after some of you listen to this anyway, but I will put the release on my jfpen.com site and on Facebook and on Twitter and everything. So and certainly by the next podcast, I'll be able to talk about it for sure. On other things, I'm currently listening to all the raw files of Pentecost, the audio book, and it's really cool to hear the book being read. Veronica, who is the narrator, does some really great accents, and it's just, you know how when you're writing, you don't, well, I don't hear voice. I do see, I see images and I see people, but I don't hear voices. So it's so funny when she's interpreting the various accents and sentences, you realize that the intonation of the sentence makes a big difference. And basically I'm listening to the raw files to help her with any pronunciation, you know, because she's actually reading it. She's an American, but she's reading it with a sort of British voice. So that's really fun. I'm really enjoying that. What else? Oh yes, the reason I got a narrator, and if you've been listening recently, I had an interview with Dan Sawyer a few episodes ago on audiobooks, and basically that discussion put me off doing it myself, even though I do this podcast, because of the editing and kind of post-production. He said it would, you know, be sort of 4 hours for every 1 hour of finished audio, and I'm just too busy writing right now, so I decided not to do that, and I signed with Griffin WordPress. So essentially that will be coming out in May, hopefully, and I'll have an audio promo to have on the podcast by then. I'm also, as well as doing this little secret project, I'm trying to finish my book on book marketing, because seriously, every day I get the same questions about book marketing, and I have a course which is like $150 with videos and all kinds of multimedia stuff, which is at thecreativepen.com/marketyourbook. But you know, I know some people want a sort of cheaper version. So I am getting to the book, but it's like, you know, 70,000 words at the moment, because I didn't realise how much I knew about marketing, but there's a lot to talk about. And I keep adding things because I'm forever experimenting on new stuff. I've got a Goodreads advert running at the moment. I've just done a BookBub promotion, which went really well. I'll link to that in the show notes, because I include all the figures and how that promotion went. Definitely well worth it for me, but as we all know, results, you know, are all based on so many factors, so it can only ever be an anecdote. Publishing news, I can't remember if I mentioned this, but Amazon bought Goodreads, if you haven't heard about that, and a lot of people got upset about it. Goodreads, if you don't know, is a probably the biggest reader social network. I review books on Goodreads, and I track my reading on Goodreads. It's a great site, and basically Amazon's bought it as a data source for discoverability, and I think that's a great thing, because as a reader, I love targeted emails that tell me new books to buy, and as an author, I love having, you know, Goodreads has a lot more reviews and ratings than Amazon does. Like, I've got about 200 plus on Goodreads for Pentecost and about 90 on Amazon, so that makes a real big difference. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Nobody really knows what will happen. But, you know, if it makes readers happy and they can buy more easily on the Kindle, then, you know, what's not to like? Other things, just yesterday, Barnes & Noble launched Nook Press to replace Pubit, which was their self-publishing platform. So it's a new self-publishing platform. It even has a kind of writing platform in, which everyone's like, that's weird. It's a really weird thing. But the terms and conditions are pretty bad. According to one author, Holly Lyle, you know, they have all kinds of legalese stuff. And I must say, I'm really grateful for the authors who blog about these types of legal things, because I'm terrible at reading those online contracts. You know, when like iTunes changes their contract and you just tick it. So I should probably not admit to that, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people do it. So anyway, but Nook Press, if you're American, it's open to you, but again, it's not open to non-US authors. So international authors can't use Nook Press anyway. So yeah, Yahoo sucks. And apparently they want it to be a rival to KDP, which I can't see how they can be a rival when you're not allowing non-US authors in. So I'm sticking with BookBaby and Smashwords for those sites, the other sites. What else? Oh, well, next week is the London Book Fair, and it's going to be crazy busy. I'm speaking on advanced marketing for authors. I'm on the Kobo booth, chairing a panel at the Author Lounge, and I have lots and lots of meetings, and I'm going to do a video, so you will be able to see a bit of what it was like at the book fair. I will put that up in the next week or so. So, if you didn't know, I have a YouTube channel. I often don't mention these things across different things, but I have a YouTube channel, you know, youtube.com/thecreativepen, and that video will go up there. And you can always, you know, listen to the interviews on, or you watch the videos, the interviews I do as videos, that makes sense. Okay, let's get on with the interview with Trevor Young. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm here with Trevor Young. Hi Trevor.
Hi Joanna, how are you?
I'm good. So Trevor is an author, a speaker, a consultant, a startup entrepreneur, and his new book is called Micro Domination: How to Leverage Social Media and Content Marketing to Build a Mini Business Empire Around Your Personal Brand.
Is that the world's yeah, longest subtitle?
It's kind of a hot button subtitle, isn't it? It's got loads of good words in there.
Yeah, and it's something that probably the title was the easy one to come up with, but the subtitle. So that's, if you can see that, it's strobing a bit, but it's in the design. It takes up the whole cover of the book, which is quite unusual. But in this space and marketing, there's a trend towards these very long subtitles. There are ones longer than that.
That's true. And I actually have a post on my site about metadata and keywords and how important it is in subtitles. So that fits in totally. I'll link to that in the show notes. But let's start by you just giving us a little bit about your background and, you know, how you came to write a book about this. You know, give us the potted history.
Very potted, although journalist by profession too many years ago, then moved into public relations. So I was been in PR for probably 20 years. So going from journalism to PR was quite an easy thing in those years because it was a lot about publicity and newsletter writing. So the writing side has been omnipresent, even as a consultant. So I've worked with a number of the big multinational agencies. I've run my own for probably 13 years at that time, and so big and small, working on massive clients, big global brands, working on startups and individuals, so right across the board. Started blogging in 2007, got into Twitter and social media in the same year, and just immersed myself. And I came at it because I was a PR person, looked overseas, saw our industry changing, and that's really why I got into it, was really to advise clients and just get my feet wet. And then little did I know that going down that path has taken me down through many different doors and many different opportunities. And I pop out the end with a book, and now I'm a professional speaker and trainer and coach all of that stuff.
It is interesting, and I think, you know, obviously your book is written both for people, but it's based on your own journey and indeed my journey. And we were just talking before the call about how our lives have changed since you were on the show about 2 years ago. And both of us have kind of gone through this I think we both have a mini business empire now, wouldn't you say?
Well, it kind of looks at it when I look at all the various arms, but I don't know about the empire bit yet, but
it's your word, mate. Your word.
A lot of moving parts, which is good, but you're right. It was when I started looking at the people that I was following and reading and watching, and I was looking at my own journey going through that. I think what I've really tried to do with the book is join a lot of the dots of this trend that I was seeing, and really just, you know, also looking at ways of how people can. I know the words used a lot now is follow your passion and your purpose, but there's a lot of people out there who aren't happy in what they do in their jobs. And I read some statistic of something like some incredible amount of people are looking for jobs or changing work right now. So there's a lot of unhappiness there. So on a subtext, there is that about following your own path as well. Yeah.
Exactly, and we're lucky to be able to do that. But let's go into the book. So I wanted to ask, first of all, there's a phrase that you use, a keyword, which is micro maven, and it's not in your subtitle. It's a new word.
Well, I've always loved the word maven since Malcolm Gladwell days, and he probably popularised the word. I wanted to start a business with it in, and I've got a couple of friends who were really into words and language and everything. I said, "What's a maven?" So I've stayed away from the name, but then it sort of popped up again. So what I've tried to do is, I guess, package it and by giving a title like Micro Mavens and giving them a term and showing what these characteristics of this new type of entrepreneur are, that's when people can sort of grasp it. So I think the packaging of something, when you've got an idea and you're bringing disparate areas in and joining the dots, it's really important to give it a name, like Malcolm Gladwell did with The Tipping Point. Not saying that this book's in the same vein, but that packaging of seeing a concept and packaging it up for people. Yeah. So the Micro Maven is really a creative entrepreneur who, I always say, they leverage the internet for to build a platform, and often that platform is now on a global basis. They grow a platform for their personal brand, and once they build their personal brand and their reputation, then they're starting to take it up a notch and build sustainable businesses. That's the mini empire side of things, with multiple streams of income. Like yourself, with all the various different arms, the speaking and the courses and that sort of thing. And I think the final part of the puzzle is that lifestyle element, which is another dimension some of the people that I talk about, they're traveling probably 80 or 90% of the time, still running significantly sized businesses while traveling. So it's the four cornerstones are to develop your platform and build your brand, your personal brand, grow your business, and then live your dream, which is that flexibility of having a work that fits into your lifestyle, not necessarily the other way around.
No, fantastic. And then out of that, I want to ask about branding. I mean, platform we do on this show quite a lot, so we're going to, you know, we'll come back to a little bit of that. But the personal branding is something that I know a lot of authors struggle with. And especially when, you know, for example, I write nonfiction and now I'm writing thrillers. So I've got two kind of brand names. One is JF Penn for my fiction and one is Joanna Penn as a speaker, a nonfiction author, blogger type of thing. So I've kind of got two personal brands. Two websites, two look and feels, you know, one's in colour, one's black and white. So I've created these two brands, but many people struggle with actually creating these brands. So can you give us some tips for how people can nail that down?
Firstly, you're a masochist for doing that. It's challenging, but if you've staked out and you know what you're wanting to do, that's good. Well, the first thing to do about a brand is, on one hand, you don't kind of, I guess, create's probably not the right word. It's you have a brand whether you like it or not. So what people think about you, your reputation with others, that's your brand. So Jeff Bezos, who runs Amazon, he's got a saying, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And so that's very important. So everyone, and particularly the more you go into the public eye, the more people know about your brand. So whatever their experience of you is, whether they've listened to you on a podcast, read your blog, seen you speak, met you at a function, that's the upshot or met you at a book signing in a big bookstore. That's their take on your brand. So what a person can do if you're a public figure, and authors are public figures, what you can do is make sure that you have a consistency. So you need to think about, well, what do you want people to say about you when you're not in the room? So do you want to be seen as creative or insightful or intelligent or, you know, multi-layered, you know, a nice person, someone who's helpful, whatever you want yourself to be seen as, you have to live that. And in days gone by, we had to live it in email and probably in the flesh and on the phone, and they're all still important touch points, of course, but now we have the myriad of social media channels and the blogs and the podcasts, etc. So to have a consistency across the board on all of those things. So it's just, I don't think people have to, you know, go in and create this persona. I don't think that's right at all, because ultimately that's not correct. And I think you see a lot of CEOs are notorious for it, politicians. They've crafted this persona, and what you see is not what you get. And then ultimately you might see another side of them, and it just doesn't gel. You know, there might be someone who's quite hard, you know, hard-hitting CEO, but then they show the family side, or there's just not a gelling of people's perceptions. And so personal branding is really people's experiences of you and how you can influence that. And you can through all of those touch points. But it's a matter of being aware of it more than anything and then being consistent.
Yeah, and also I think especially like you and I I guess mature users of social media and blogging and things, and I would dare to say that we judge people online based on how their website looks, you know, how professional it is. You know, we can pretty much tell if it's a free blog versus someone who's taking it seriously and doing, you know, a professional job. So, I mean, how much do you think as a PR person, because a lot of authors listening will be concerned about that type of thing, you know, if your book suddenly becomes, you know, gets some traction, whatever, and you get some hits on your site, you know, what are some of the things people need to be aware of that people will judge them on around this brand? Like, it's just people arrive on your site and they judge you, right?
They do. And I better go back on my sites and fix a couple up now. Thanks for that. I guess there's a couple of things. One is if you're maybe you're an author who's out there and quite crazy and quite, you know, a vibrant personality, but your website's really and quite boring and the antithesis of what you come across in real life. that doesn't strike out well. And the same thing is if you're quite a conservative writer and quiet, but your website's really loud and boisterous, there's a disconnect there. So I think it needs to reflect your personality, I think is very important. The caveat there is if you've got a book-only website, it needs to reflect the personality of the book and the characters in it if it's fiction. So, if someone's written a book and it's a non-fiction book, well, you'd hope that there is a consistency and a connection with the person who wrote it anyway. So you look at someone like Tom Peters, the management guru and best-selling author of many years, and he's out there, he's a provocateur and all of that. So when he's on stage, he's an angry man, and he really likes tweaking the nose of the establishment a bit. But you see his books and he's got big typeface and it's in your face and it's short bursts of provocations, and that to me is perfect because that's consistent with what he's like on stage and other touch points in his other reading on his articles, and then you read his book and you're not disappointed.
No, I agree. And, I do think that professionalism, and you're really talking about authenticity there as well. And I would also add that I have a lot of fiction authors who listen to the show, and many fiction authors use pseudonyms. You can still be authentic within a pseudonym. You can still show aspects of your character when you're doing this type of stuff, can't you?
Well, I think you can. I mean, that opens another layer too. Probably that's when you can create a persona, because is it a pseudonym where you don't want people to know you too? That's when you can have a bit of fun, obviously.
Often, yeah.
I might have a crack at that. Who knows? I might already be
erotic
doing it.
Erotic writer, Trevor.
If you're not known and your pseudonym is to hide you, and you can have a lot of fun, I think that takes it into a whole new ballpark. But you're right. I mean, once again, if you're going to be out there and doing book signings and being interviewed under a pseudonym still, the same rules apply.
Right. I want to come back to your subtitle because, like we said, it's got loads of buzzwords in. So I want you to differentiate between social media and content marketing, because I know people get confused. So what is the difference between those two things?
Yeah, well, I mean, content marketing is the rage at the moment, but it's more from a business perspective. So when you look at content marketing from a business perspective, it's people using content to attract people to their website, to earn people's attention. So whether it's a podcast, a blog, even a tweet is content, a video, an infographic or whatever it is, to in a lot of the business space, it's actually to show your thought leadership and help customers. So whatever their frequently asked questions are, you can create content around that, answer their questions, draw them in. There's the SEO side of things as well. Then you get more into the thought leadership, and that's about putting your opinions and your ideas out there, which could end up being in a book. So that is really to attract attention, to cut through, to attract attention to people that are interested in that topic. So what's the audience you're trying to reach and what's of interest to them, and then creating content that will draw them in. And so it should be helpful, educational, inspiring, empowering, all of those words, not everything at once. But if you tick a few of those boxes and it adds genuine value and it's not about you necessarily or your company or your business, and then that's when content's used. So that's when people say you're a business, but you're also a publisher today and your own media channel. And I always say, I usually draw the old Venn diagram, and I have content creation on one side and social participation, I call it, on the other. And because social media itself is really just the tools, think of it like the telephone. Social media marketing is using those tools for marketing purposes. Obviously, a lot of people use social media not for marketing purposes as well. But, you can be a social participator, and by that means tweeting, being out there helpful. If it's a business, it's offering advice, customer care. If you're on LinkedIn, it's putting updates in, following other people's blogs, dropping in comments, hat-tipping people on Twitter, liking things on Facebook. It's actually participating on the social web. Mm. And the content side is really creating your own content to share. Mm. So you can still share other people's content, But ultimately, if you want to be seen as an original, you know, voice, then you need to create in your own, and there's nothing like having a, you know, a blog post that will and hitting publish to make sure you've got clarity of thought. And so that the two work really well hand in hand. There's a there's a social media guy called Jay Bear, you may have heard of, and Jay talks about, I love his line, he says the same thing that I'm talking about, but he says it in a much better way, and he says that content is the fire and social media is gasoline. And I really like that. So where he says that, I put two circles together, content creation on one hand and the social participation the other. So you're creating your content, but the social media is your way of amplifying that and deploying that into other areas, getting it amplified, and then building that ecosystem and that community around you. So I think the two work really hand in hand.
They do work hand in hand. I mean, I go further on this and say that, like you said, content marketing is your original creation. But I also think that content is what you own. So like this podcast, you and I kind of jointly own as something we've created together. It goes out on my feed. But if you know, iTunes disappears, if YouTube disappears, I still own that content and I can put it on the next tool. Now, the mistake I see a lot of people making, like this whole Facebook bandwagon, people started building their whole life on Facebook. And that, if Facebook disappears, that whole thing disappears. So for me, it's very much about, and again, free blogs. You don't own a free blog. You have to own your own and own your own content. And then social is, as you say, sharing that. But if unless you create your own stuff and own it, you could just be disappeared at some point. Would you agree?
I 100%. You know, it worries me when I see quite big brands putting all their eggs in the Facebook basket, and Facebook would change the rules just like that.
Yeah, and they do.
You know, they do, and you don't own it. You know, you're renting that house. You want to own your own house and have a couple of rental properties in different parts of the country. that's your social embassies. That's your LinkedIn and Twitter and that sort of thing. Very important. But have your own home base that you own. And the other thing is with the content side is if you create it, you put it out, it gets shared and shared and shared. It's your voice that's going out and attracting people. So different, you know, once you go down the content route, depending on whether you're a business or not or what sort of thing you're trying to do, that's obviously going to change left, right and centre. But as a general rule, it's the thing that separates, you know, the real pros from the ones that the wannabes, because it, as you know, it takes time and effort to do this.
Yes.
To whether it's a podcast or writing a blog post, to put yourself out there, to go down that path, it sets you apart. And you're opening yourself up, but you're also attracting people to you who like your worldview, for example. If they share your worldview, you're going to attract them. If you inspire them, entertain them, educate them, inform them, provoke them. They're all good things. It's better than being vanilla and unseen.
Absolutely. And funny you mentioned the time thing there, because you know, as you obviously know and some others might, Google Reader is disappearing in a few months, and so a lot of us are having to move all of our feeds right across to a new system. So I'm moving over to Feedly, and as I was doing it, I was going through all these feeds. Like, I probably had 400 feeds, but what was interesting was probably 100-150 of those feeds were dead. You know, so in terms of people, and I've had that feed since I started blogging, so 2008, you know, I've been adding new things to that. And it just surprised me. And I looked back and there were some people that I remember, like when I interviewed you 2 years ago, there were other people around at that time. Those people have disappeared. And, you know, but so some staying the distance, isn't it, really makes all the difference.
It's getting momentum in the first place, and then it's the marathon. So if I look at the micro mavens who I cover in the book, and some of these names might ring bells to people, some might not. Chris Gillibo, they're all virtually all authors, a lot of them. Chris Gillibo, who you're probably aware of, Chris Brogan, Darren Rouse from Melbourne, who's pro blogger, Danielle Laporte, Marie Forleo. There's a stack of them, and then there's people that probably aren't as well known as well. But they've been in it for the long haul.
And you know, when you say long, it's internet long, like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, that's right. And there are dog years. That's 35 years. Yeah. What are we talking? But Chris Brogan, you know, he was even blogging before, almost before internet, if that was possible. But he said it took him 8 years to get his first 100 subscribers.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he's got, you know,
now he's
thousands of subscribers, yeah. Bestsellers. He's a classic micro maven because he built the platform from scratch. You know, the micro mavens didn't have a TV show first or a radio program and weren't famous earlier. They've come from nowhere and they've built this community of fans, and then they've started to build a business around their reputation and their personal
and
brand.
Pretty much all of them got book deals off of their blogs and off of their platform as well.
That's key. And then that propels them the next one on. So, yeah. You know, you need something before you get the book deal, although these days a lot are deciding to self-publish because they have the
audience.
Such a big platform.
Yeah.
But then the book takes them more into media and then takes it to the next level again. It's all of the, you know, it's all of these steps that sort of, but it is, doing something every day. Darren Rouse tells the story when he did his first online course, when he created that, and he was doing it in something like 15-minute increments a day, little by little by little by little, and then he sold something like 70 grand, stand corrected, but about 70 grand's worth of sales in the first week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he did it by breaking it down, doing small chunks every day and looking at content in that regard.
And I would, again, there will be fiction people listening going, nah, this is all about nonfiction. But I wanted to, and at the moment there's actually a real backlash in the author community about blogging. There's been a number of posts saying, right, it's time to stop blogging. We need to spend time writing. And I flip-flop on this almost every day because I agree, like my fiction site, I hardly ever blog on. Like I don't blog on fiction, but I do a lot of interviews about my fiction. But I found that through building up my platform, through my, you know, through the creative pen, through the podcast, like meeting people like you, actually there's been, and I call it kind of social karma, which is, you know, when you connect like this, when you are, you know, like I'm promoting your book, telling people about your book, things without any expectation, you know how it works. There's like this becomes like a relationship, and like I've got my agent through relationships. I got an Amazon Daily deal based on a personal relationship. I've got something that I can't announce yet, which I'm really excited about. Which I got
You'll tell us before the end of the podcast. We'll get
I got through a relationship. I get speaking through a lot through personal recommendation. So I could not have gone full time as an author entrepreneur without this platform. So what do you think about this backlash?
Yeah, as you said, author entrepreneur, you're probably aware of Guy Kawasaki's book, Ape, Author Publisher Entrepreneur, which is interesting. But you're right, I can understand where it's coming from. When there's so much hype in one direction, you'll inevitably get the backlash, I guess. I'm just so dead set for it, but the reason is because you've got to be, you are the, if you're an author, you're a personal brand, whether you like it or not. You are a brand that people buy. And again, you've got to have that consistency and be known for something. But it's not just blogging. It doesn't necessarily have to be a blog. There are authors out there that do a lot of podcasting. Some have done audio episodes of, instead of writing a book, they've done audio. Well, they have to have written it because then they read it.
Scott Sigler is a big one in the fiction
space. That's
right.
Yeah, and I've heard of a couple of examples that are much smaller as well. And so that's an interesting way I would have thought to do it, but you know, it obviously works because all blogging and social, so content and the social, the two together, what it does is you've hit the nail on the head with relationships and relationships. But you're attracting like minds, and you're attracting people who like you for what your output. So, you know, when you're creating a platform, you're trying to attract people who are of like mind that build a community of fans, followers, supporters, enthusiasts, advocates of what it is you do, your thoughts, your works. That's it. That's, you know, there's the saying about the 1,000 true fans, which means a creative entrepreneur really only needs 1,000 hardcore true fans to have a very decent living. So it's not the blog, and I think, you know, certainly in Australia we have the blogging, the mummy blogging and blogging generally is on the rise, and therefore you get the TV, well, the press articles and the TV interviews, etc., about how these mummy bloggers are making millions, which they're not. But, you know, people think, and everyone gets besotted about the blog. The blog is still the conduit or the tool.
Yeah.
It's the brand that people buy. It's not the blog. The blog is a personification of your brand. So when people are thinking blogging, take it away, take the blog out of it and say, what are you trying to achieve as a personal brand? Mm-hmm. So maybe it is just social media and interacting with people. Not everyone's going to be a customer. Not everyone's going to buy your book. Mm-hmm. You know, if I had every follower buy my book, I'd be laughing. But it's not the case. And it's the same in business. People say, I'm only trying to reach people who are going to be my customers. No, you want to reach people, build relationships with people who will share your content and support you and promote you and do all this sort of stuff. And so if you're going to have any degree of ripple effect and any degree of buzz about you, you need people online doing that. So it's great to start building them that community of genuine friendships and relationships before you need it, and it takes time. You can't just grow that overnight. It takes years.
Exactly. It takes years. It does. And what's interesting now, you know, having, you know, both you and I started in December 2008, so I'm coming up to 5 years this December. There's people who started blogs at the same time, and, you know, you would feel the same way. We are kind of peers in the market because we've grown up together in the market, and even just those relationships come from being aware of each other for years and, you know, just interacting. And I think there's a lot, the generosity I find is amazing, that everyone is so generous with their time and helping each other. And I love our little community online. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And the law of reciprocity is the other one. You know, like, it's you give without expectation of anything, of receiving and helping people, and that builds it. But, you know, and whatever happens online, it comes off offline as well. So you go to conferences, exactly, or you meet people, or you go to meetups. And to me, the power of social is offline. And the micro mavens that I talk about in the book, they know the power of getting out and pressing the flesh. So Chris Guillebeau is, you know, on his book tour, he does every state in the US and every province in Canada. And then for his second book, he goes to every continent. You know, that's a certain mindset to want to connect with people. So, you know, blogging is one thing. Connecting and building a community of supporters and advocates is another. The blog is a tool, albeit a very important one, if that's the way you decide to go. Gary Vaynerchuk didn't blog. He had a video blog, but he did a video show. You know, he went from total unknown to, you know, $1 million book deal. So it's the sheer fact that you're doing it, you're getting out there, you're putting yourself out there, and you're interacting with others, and you're genuinely becoming part of an ecosystem. And it's a community that, you might live in a small town and that small town knows you, just enlarge that small town. The rules are exactly the same whether you live in a small town or whether you operate in your pajamas on the social web. It doesn't matter. You're still dealing with humans.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, if once you're on the web and you're doing things, you've also got to look at, well, how do people want to get information? How are people sourcing information? People's behaviours are changing. It's not just being on it for the heck of it. It's just that's what people want. You want to be where they are. The other thing is, you know, you're going to do a book trailer for a video trailer for your book. You know, it's good to have somewhere where you can house that people will come and see it. I think I look more about the connection and building the community. That, to me, is more. And if you've built that, you've earned the right, then you've also earned the right to ask people to help you, and they will if you've helped them.
Yeah, exactly. But there is no formal return on investment calculation. I just don't think there can be one. You can't say the 4.5 years of me blogging, podcasting, tweeting, all of this, I can't directly link it to my so-called success in quotation marks, or my book sales, or the fact that I'm a full-time author entrepreneur. But I sure as hell know it's related. You know what I mean? So, but people want proof. Yeah, people want proof that there's a return on investment, which unfortunately I don't think there is.
Yes, there's a guy called Scott Monty who's head of social media for Forward and a leading light in the space, and albeit this is more business, but he's, you know, he says when he gets hit by the ROI question, he said, he talks about, yeah, there's ROI putting your pants on in the morning, you know, what is the ROI putting your pants on in the morning? You know, you might not know what that is, but sure as hell, if you don't do it, you know there's something going to be wrong. So
that's a good one. That's quite but Australian.
But I think that you can test things. You can build your email list. You can look at what works to open it, you know, in terms of the open rate, what headings or what you can go down to the nth degree. You can look at traffic. You can I can judge a lot of things, not judge, I can track a lot of things back to relationships on Twitter. I can look at big speaking tours that have come through rekindled relationships on Twitter. I now have people come to me in a business sense. They know what I stand for and who I am, and they say, we want you to do this. So you're not actually pitching against anyone. That's in the business side of things.
Oh, no. I mean, like, I've never pitched for speaking, ever. I just have always been asked to speak. So, I mean, that only comes from my blog, only. How else could it have
a podcast? But it comes from the interconnectedness that you have across your channels and your content. So again, it comes from content and participation, because if all you did was the content, but you weren't out there connecting with people and building relationships on a micro level, which is what Twitter does, for example, you might not have had that as much. So the two really do go hand in hand. And is it an effort? Absolutely, it's an effort. Is it fun? Absolutely, it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we should mention that.
There's a part of me that sometimes wishes I could just go away on a little farmhouse and write, and that'd be really cool as well. But I know that, you know, I'm not going to get a deal unless I've got a following, or if I am going to self-publish, and, you know, we're seeing people are doing that all the time now. Whether you're self-published or whether you're with a publisher, it's up to you to do the marketing. It is. And so it's not going to land in your lap. So you need to have build up momentum to get to that, and therefore need to look at the tools and have the wherewithal to do it in advance of you actually doing it. You don't start book marketing now once the book's done. You do it before the book's done.
Exactly.
That's when your marketing starts.
Well, I want to ask you about that because, you know, we'll have to be winding up soon, but we could talk about this all day, I reckon. But you're with a traditional publisher, right, for Micro Domination?
Yep, John Wiley and Sons.
Okay,
yep.
so with
in our
Wiley.
Space there, well,
hmm. Yeah, big publisher, Wiley, you know, good business publisher. I'm sure lots of people would love to be with Wiley. Now, so we've talked about, you know, building up, you know, platform and all of that, and you've done all of that work. But give us a couple of things that you're doing for your own book promotion that might help other people with some ideas that are, you know, might be a bit different or related to your PR side, or, you know, what are some of the things you're doing?
Well, it's I feel like I've been marketing forever because I started writing it in August, and it's funny, I'll just digress for 2 seconds, because it is a big publisher and people think publishers are really slow, etc. And I know in some instances they can be, but I started writing in August last year, and I had an advanced copy in my hand by the end of January.
That's very
pretty
quick.
Yeah. Freaked me out, actually. It was a bit too much happening. So it only launched only a few days ago, about a week and a bit ago. I had a launch event with the Social Media Club of Melbourne, of which I was a member of and been part of over the journey. They've got a big database. I pulled together in the interests of having good content, I pulled together a panel which featured three micro mavens that are mentioned in the book. Nicole Avery, Valerie Koo, and Darren Rouse, and they're all Melbourne-based. And actually, Valerie lives in Melbourne and she lives in Sydney. But we got them along to, you know, and we had a panel, and that was the official launch of the book. So we trended on Twitter that night. You know, a club like that attracts a lot of people who are very connected and very into Twitter and blogging, etc.
Oh, wait, let's just stop on that, because That what you've just said is really important. I get so many emails about book launches and people say, oh, we're just going to have a party. What you've done is basically provide an event that people want to go to anyway, because you've got a panel on useful stuff with quite famous people in Australia, you know, generally and around the world in different ways. But, you know, that's what you've done is not go, here's my book. You've gone, here's a really useful event. Oh, and by the way, I've got a book. So I want people to get that, because that is the way to do a live book launch. Otherwise, it's actually not much point in bothering. So that's brilliant. What were you going to say next?
the other thing is, and tying it back to the book and the themes of the book. So, you know, to my mind, and this comes back to content marketing, it's not about you, it's about the recipients.
Yeah.
So what's the value? So what do most people do when they have a book launch? Well, maybe it's about them and it's celebratory and all of that, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I just decided to go with, here's some really valuable content, I think, that we'll have through the course of the night, some great ideas you're going to get. So it gave people an extra special reason to turn up. A few hundred there, which is really good. Trended on Twitter and as a result, Darren wrote something on Google Plus the next day, because of something that sparked an idea in his head. He was asked the question about, I won't go too deep into it, but it's he looked at the micro mavens in the book and what was so special about them and what were they doing, and I think that was a question on the night. And he'd thought about it and gone away, and it percolated, and he writes sort of mini posts now on Google Plus. He had put his themes out there and started talking about it. Now he's got, in his circles on Google Plus, he's got something like 127,000 people. They're the little ripple effects, because it's once again, it's good content. So the book serves as a spark for further conversation. So I've got a book website, which is microdominationbook.com, and that's just a real quick and dirty, this is the book. You know, there's a couple of the chapters, there's a sampler there, some of my footnotes from the book, which I couldn't put in the book. So I put all the footnotes online and a bit of tweet love and a few prepackaged tweets and that sort of stuff. Prior to that, I've built one called microdomination.com, and that's an accompanying blog. So over the journey, I'd like to turn that into something bigger, and maybe a multi-author blog of some description, and build an audience for that. So that's only really just been going since earlier in the year, and that's to further explore the themes that are discussed in the book. So any of those elements that we've been speaking about, I'm writing articles about it, starting a podcast, et cetera, et cetera. So that is part of the marketing, is to keep that sub-brand, I suppose, or the whole concept moving in another direction. And by the way, here's the book that started it. So it's kind of doing the two things together. I have a blog, so it's been well established, prwarrior.com, so I've been using that, using Twitter a lot, and really just giving it out, giving the book to influentials as well, and people that I think will get something out of it. You know, a lot of those people who, again, it's the same community that we've been around for 5-6 years. And they've got big followings on Twitter. You know, there's been podcasts that I've done that service different areas of the market. We're into traditional media at the moment.
Right, I was going to ask that, because everything you've talked about so far has been kind of online. Have we given up on traditional media, or are you doing that too?
Oh, no, that's just started. Literally, the book's, you know, it hasn't been around for that long. So that's starting. I'm going up, I'm on TV next week.
How did you get TV? People want to know.
Actually, that came directly to me. So that is the book indirectly. So that's about personal branding. But of course, because I'm the author of the book, that makes sense. So that's once again, I don't think we sort of touched on that. I was going to, when you talk about having a platform, the media, another part of it is that you attract the media to you. They can come and check you out and say, okay, you're bona fide. You are an author. You are doing this. You are, you know, you are who you say you are. Because if they look and they can't find you, you don't exist. So traditional media, absolutely, we're doing it. I've by the time this comes out, will probably be in Lifehacker, for example. Mm-hmm. And that's the hybrid. I think that's the real good area. Blogs, I think, are important. Podcasts, I'll do those all the time. But the hybrid media is a cross between a traditional, Lifehacker and Huffington Post. They've got no legacy. They've got no legacy systems from being an old world media company. But they're started by people who understand journalism and the media. So they're online beasts, but they've got, you know, a little bit of, they've got a digital heart, but they've still got a bit of traditional media experience behind them. And they, and obviously your traditional media then is your hard copy magazines and then whatever they bring online as well. So it's out to those people. We're getting interest. Interviews are starting to tickle along. And all of that's important, and the next few weeks are going to be pretty crucial for that.
Crazy. Yeah, and what's interesting there, you know, is that you're published by Wiley, big publisher, but you're basically doing the vast majority of this work yourself.
No, I hope I didn't give that away. The publicist at the publisher is working on that. We work together, and obviously it's my space, so I'm happy to be involved. Mm-hmm. And I must say, I really have empathy, because it's second nature to me, but I do have empathy for authors who have never been in this space and all of a sudden they have to start thinking about media plans in conjunction with the publicist, because, you know, they'll have other books come along and then, you know, it's my turn now, but then in a couple of weeks maybe it's someone else's turn. So that's when you pull up the reins. And because the book then is not so new, then you need to find different ways to get in. So the other day I was interviewed on one of the big radio station in Perth, and the story is not about the book. The story is about how small businesses are using social media. Mm. So I can talk on that, and that was research that came out. So we shot the research out to this radio station, said I can comment on that. And by the way, I write, this is my book. And so I think that's something authors need to understand, particularly if they're an expert in a particular space, is that they don't necessarily have to talk about the book. There's only going to be a really short window when you talk about the book, but you will always be the author of this book, and that is your credibility.
Mm. Fantastic. Right, so where can people find you and the book online?
Okay, so just the straight book site is microdominationbook.com. And the accompanying blog of that is microdomination.com. And my website, which is the jump off for everything, is trevoryoung.me, M-E.
Fantastic. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Trevor. That was brilliant.
Thank you, Joanna. Cheers.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. You can also get your free Author 2.0 blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.